like the older you get, the faster time flies. Seems like I was just here a few hours ago. No, it's been a day. Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you along with Tom Fairbanks. Tom, have you noticed that as we age, the time just seems to fly by?
Did something happen between now and yesterday that sort of accelerated your time frame? Was something exciting happened to you?
Just another tooth issue.
Okay, well, I have no answer for you.
Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Yeah, it is Thursday, the 9th of March, 2023, our show in our 13th year. Lucky 13, broadcasting from the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station that we come to you on is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening. That means we've got the live stream anywhere in the world at buckmastershow.com. Our live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line for his monthly visit with us, Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. Supervisor Scott, a Democrat representing the first Pima County Supervisorial District. There are five members on the board. Supervisor Scott, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing really well. Thanks so much for this monthly opportunity to talk with you and Tom and your listeners.
Boy, your schedule. Yesterday, you went out to visit the Friends of Sabino Canyon. Then you checked in on another very, very well-known group called Youth on Their Own.
I did, and the Youth on Their Own group had a luncheon down at the Tucson Convention Center, and when I was the principal of a local high school, I first became aware of their work because we had a significant number of homeless students who took advantage of the support that Youth on Their Own provides to students in that situation. Then I moved on to be the principal of a middle school, and there were students there who were also Youth on Their Own clients. And so I wanted to go to this luncheon and show my support for the good work that this organization has been doing for over 30 years to help kids in the community who often don't have anybody else that can be of assistance or support to them. And then, as you said, after that, later that afternoon, there was an event at Tohono O'Toole Park that was sponsored by the Friends of Sabino Canyon, talking about some of the exciting plans that they have to upgrade the facilities in Sabino Canyon. And the Friends of Sabino Canyon have such an influence and reach that they even had video messages during the meeting from both United States Senator Mark Kelly and Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs.
Youth on Their Own. People would be very surprised how many youth are on their own in this community, Rex Scott.
It's hundreds. It's hundreds of kids who have no significant adult in their lives, and they use the stipends and other support that Youth on Their Own provides to help meet basic living needs so that they can stay focused on being a student and graduating. And one of the things that I think is the most inspiring about Youth on Their Own is that after students have graduated from high school and gone on to their next stage of life, many of them sign on to be Youth on Their Own ambassadors so that they can reach out to the rest of the community and talk to the community about the vital work that Youth on Their Own does. The MC of the event yesterday was a Youth on Their Own board member who was one of my students at Catalina High School. And he is now a very successful entrepreneur in our community, and he is showing his appreciation for what Youth on Their Own did for him when he was in high school by serving on their board and emceeing this event yesterday.
Well, that's wonderful, showing that you can turn your life around. Let's talk a bit about kind of the marquee issue that came out of the board meeting on Tuesday. You and your colleagues, you were in voting with the majority. The vote was 4-1. Supervisor Christie saying no. The board said that it's time to consolidate some of its services for asylum seekers away from several of the local hotels that have been used to one designated location. Where is this particular property?
It's on Drexel Road. It is, and it's close to the airport, and it's a former big box store, and its location in proximity to Tucson International is important because legal asylum seekers who come into our community after they've been released by the Department of Homeland Security are usually only here for a period of several days, and then they move on to whatever other part of the country their family or sponsors are located. And so having this much larger facility helps us to consolidate operations and is a lot easier for Catholic Community Services, who we contract with to oversee the facility. It's a lot easier for them to work with this one large facility than the several smaller facilities that were distributed throughout the community prior to the county leasing this property. And it's important for members of our community to know that we are making use of federal funds through the Federal Emergency Management Administration Emergency Food and Shelter Program that are given to border counties to handle the influx of legal asylum seekers who otherwise, if we were not making use of these federal funds to house them while they're in our community, they would just be released into the community. And I think that that would have a significant impact, not just on their health and safety, but potentially on the health and safety of all of Pima County. So I recognize that there are people who have issues and concerns with federal border policy. If they have those issues and concerns, they should take those up with their representatives in the federal government. But as a representative of local government in a border county, I think that my colleagues and I are making prudent and necessary use of these federal funds that are made available to us.
And that we're talking about thousands of people, aren't we, that need this migrant service?
Absolutely. And we saw the peak numbers of asylum seekers in November and December. Those numbers have gone down in recent months for a variety of reasons, but we still have hundreds of people coming into the community every day after they've been released by the Department of Homeland Security.
All right, I could take the break here, or I could transition into a mention of, why don't we do the senior fair, the plug for the senior resource fair, then we'll come back after the break, Rex Scott, and then we'll talk about your RTA update that you made to the board. What is this resource fair that you've got coming up, and who is invited to take part? Where is it and when?
Well, we've got a significant number of senior citizens within our community, within District 1. And so my staff and I are organizing this event. It is from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturday at Steam Pump Ranch in Oral Valley. And the way it came about was that we had had a resource fair earlier in our tenure in the village of Catalina, and it was designed to meet the needs of the residents of the village of Catalina. And in subsequent discussions, my staff and I talked about what are other segments of our community that we could serve, and we talked about senior citizens. So we've got folks from hospitals and healthcare, first responders, assisted living and senior care, many county departments, including the assessor, the community and workforce development department, to provide information and resources to senior citizens who live within District 1. So we hope people will come up to beautiful Steam Pump Ranch. If you've never been there, it's a tremendously gorgeous and historic facility within the boundaries of the town of Oral Valley from 9 to 1 on Saturday.
So it sounds like this is a one-stop shopping for older folks who would like some information.
Absolutely, and certainly folks who don't live in District 1 are welcome to attend, and I think there would be information and resources that just about everybody would find a value, even if they're not yet a senior citizen.
Well, I think everybody enjoys and finds value up at Mona's Danish Bakery, Rex Scott.
Nice segue.
Thank you. Mona's is located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise and is located in Rex Scott's supervisorial district number one, a home of the Danish Kringle, but home also for, oh my goodness, I think the best cinnamon rolls, certainly in town. And they've got some really beautiful muffins. That chocolate chip muffin is great. I love the blueberry muffin. And on it goes. My advice lately, get there early. Doors open 6:30, Tuesday through Saturday. Why do I say get there early? Well, the stuff has just come out of the oven, and it's the widest selection. And of course, Sunday, they're open at 7. And people really, really find Sunday a very attractive day to dine with breakfast or just take their pastries home and read the Sunday paper. All right, we'll take a break right here. Their website, by the way, monasdanishbakery.com. And we will take a break. We'll have Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott with an update on the Regional Transportation Authority right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Our live line when we do our telephone interviews, and we're doing a telephonic show today, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Pima County Supervisor Rex Scott. Rex is a Democrat representing District 1 on the 5-member Pima County Board of Supervisors. He is also the designated representative for the Pima County Board of Supervisors on the 9-member Regional Transportation Authority Board. I began this show, Supervisor Scott, talking about how time just really flies. I mean, it seems like yesterday that voters here approved a 20-year plan for the Regional Transportation Authority. Well, guess what? Come May, the sunset will be in or on the horizon, because it will be 3 years left in the original program. So we're getting down to crunch time where we're going to have to make a decision about when this will go before the voters.
We absolutely are. And the Citizens Action Committee, Citizens Advisory Committee, of the RTA board is currently working on putting together a draft for a RTA next plan to be submitted to the RTA board by July 1st of this year. And what I did with my colleagues on the Board of Supervisors this week is I gave them an update as to where we are right now. The RTA board got a memorandum from the RTA executive director back on February 24th that included a RTA Next ballot that incorporated the list of named projects and also the 4 deferred projects from the current RTA plan. And I impressed upon my colleagues that the most important word that they could see on this document was the word draft, because where we are is, as I said, the Citizens Advisory Committee is going to get its recommendations to us by July 1st. In between now and then, there's going to be continued discussions, not only within the Citizens Advisory Committee, but also between the Citizens Advisory Committee and the Technical Management Committee, which are the jurisdictional transportation and governmental professionals who are advising the Citizens Advisory Committee. Then when the Citizens Advisory Committee gets that draft to the RTA board on or before July 1st, we could make changes to it. And then we're going to send that plan out for public review and public input, and more changes may be made before we actually have something to put on the ballot to cover the next 20-year period. And it's absolutely vital that we do this. You had General Maxwell, who is one of my colleagues on the RTA board and is the governor's Southern Arizona representative to the State Transportation Board, on your show not too long ago, and General Maxwell pointed out there are not going to be any state or federal funds coming in for expansion. State and federal funds are going to be mostly for maintenance and repair. And so if we want to expand transportation in this area, and not just roadways, but also transit, pedestrian, bicycling offerings, then having a new RTA to cover the next 20-year period is absolutely vital.
Yeah, that jumped out at me when General Maxwell was with us last week. He said, Bill, there's no federal money for any of these projects. So if people do want to expand our footprint about improving transportation in the region, the RTA is going to be what it's all about, Rex Scott.
And Bill, that's what we did and are doing because of the wise decision that our voters made in 2006 to put the current RTA plan in effect. I mean, just in my district, if you're driving on La Cañada or La Cholla or Tangerine, or Orange Grove, which is getting ready to be started as well, you are benefiting from RTA projects. And there are all kinds of other projects throughout the county that benefit all the jurisdictions, regardless of where you live. And that's what we're asking the Citizens Advisory Committee to do, is to put together a plan that once you see it on the ballot, no matter where you live in Pima County, no matter your station in life, you're going to find a reason to vote yes.
When do you think we'll see this plan, this draft?
Well, as I said, the Citizens Advisory Committee needs to get it to the RTA board by July 1st of this year. And if people want to see the initial draft,
that's what I mean.
They can go on the Board of Supervisors website and look at our agenda from Tuesday and the memo that the RTA board got that includes the initial draft sample. The initial draft sample ballot is attached to that agenda item.
Let's see if we can carve out the remaining time to talk about something very important that also came up at the meeting, the updated Pima County Economic Development Plan. Could you articulate the very important points in this, please?
Absolutely. Our Economic Development Department has been working in partnership with a consultant that the Board of Supervisors agreed to contract with on putting in an update to our County Economic Development Plan. This update is important not only to provide clarity and focus to our economic development efforts in the next few years, and this plan would cover the period up until 2026, but we've also been working deliberately to make sure that our plan is aligned with requirements of the Federal Economic Development Administration. If we have a plan that is aligned with their requirements, then we and the other jurisdictions in this area are going to be eligible for Federal Economic Development Administration grant funds that may become available in the years to come. And this plan focuses on four strategic priorities: retention and expansion of existing businesses, attraction of new businesses, infrastructure development, and workforce development. And under each one of those strategic priorities and the thematic pillars that serve as the basis for the plan, there are specific steps that we're going to take to move towards fulfillment of those priorities. What the board wanted to hear more of from county administration is how are we going to measure success? How are we going to make use of the key performance indicators in the plan to indicate that our plan is being fulfilled? And so county administration got that direction, and they're going to come back to the board in April with a revised plan that gives us a better idea of how we are going to measure success in the fulfillment of the plan.
You were talking about how do we retain jobs that we already have here, correct?
Well, how do we retain and expand existing businesses and the jobs that they provide to our community? Yes, that's one of the four strategic priorities, along with attraction of new businesses, infrastructure development, and workforce development. And those last two are really important, because if a new or existing business is looking to either come to Pima County or expand, they're looking very seriously at the quality of our infrastructure and also the talent level of the workforce that they're going to be tapping into.
All right. But generally, is there a feeling that we're moving in the right direction with economic development, Rex Scott?
I believe so, yes, especially since the department is focused not only on the unique concerns and needs of our local community, but they're also making sure that we can make ourselves eligible for federal grant opportunities that will enhance economic development efforts by aligning this plan with federal requirements.
For more information, where can people find out? I know you're very big with constituent services. What's the best way to reach you?
Best way to reach me is either calling our office at 520-724-2738 or emailing us at district1@pima.gov. And we have a policy of a 24-hour turnaround in terms of getting back to constituents who contact us either because they want to speak directly with me or because they have some problem or concern that they want us to address and help them to resolve.
All right, Rex Scott, your old friend, Dr. Robert Hendricks, will be our guest after the break. You two, both longtime educators, and Dr. Hendricks has some very interesting things to say about what's going on at the legislature, and they really are focusing on local education, and some would say in not a good way.
He also serves on the board of Interfaith Community Services, and I'd encourage everybody in Pima County to take a look at what ICS does for all of us.
Thank you very much. Have a great day. Thank you, Supervisor Scott.
Thank you very much, Bill. Bye-bye.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade. Using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana. Plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com. The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things getting all ready for spring. They've got a wonderful selection of beautiful color for your garden. Check it out, 3384 East River Road, right by the Rito River. Pretty location, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's a 13-acre site. Not only very heavily geared toward your garden, but there's some beautiful items, many of them handcrafted for your home, including kitchen sets made out of mesquite wood. Some from Tucson, some from Mexico. It's Zocalo Village. That's the other nice component of the business. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com, the two websites, and they are open daily. And they're in their, 53rd year of business. Our telephone live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management, the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, is Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor at the University of Arizona College of Education. He's the former Arizona School Superintendent of the Year, former Superintendent of Flowingwell School District, Vice Chair of the Interfaith Community Services Group, a Tucson-based organization comprised of over 120 faith communities. Dr. Hendricks, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Bill. How about yourself?
Doing well. Thanks for asking. The big story coming out of Phoenix and the legislatures is seems to be how the lawmakers are really looking, really getting into the classroom, if you will. There was just a story on the front page today concerning the Pledge of Allegiance, designating which students can use which washrooms, on and on it goes, certain books that would not be permitted in schools. Then there's this whole issue, Dr. Hendricks, about perhaps breaking up the Tucson Unified School District, which has an enrollment, I think, of about 47,000 students. Well, the lawmakers are saying if a district has more than 35,000 students, the people in that area, in the district, should hold an election to see whether they want to break it up. What in the world?
You know, Bill, this is such an old story. I mean, when I was superintendent of Flowing Wells, we had a group of residents that lived on the east side of the west side of the district, the Tucson Mountains, and they essentially wanted to draw a line on the boundary map and break away, and they sought some advice because I think what they their plan was not to form their own district but to annex into Flying Wells. And so there are some laws on the books right now. ARS 15-460 says that any group of residents can secede. And that's right. This is a secession plan. It's, you know, draw a line and decide what what territory you want to take away from a standing school district. And, form a new district or join an existing one. Now, this has been talked about for years. It's been on the books, but now what we're looking at is an end run around that because there's a lot of frustration in the fact that it is almost impossible to do that. And let me explain why. First of all, if you draw these new boundaries, you've got to get 10% of registered voters that live in that particular area to approve it by petition. They submit it to the county superintendent. County superintendent does a financial impact study, and then it's got to be submitted back to the voters. But here's the kicker. First of all, you've got to get the majority vote of the people who live within the petitioned area. So maybe that wouldn't be too difficult. If you can round up the people who live within this defined area and get their support. But here's the problem. You also have to go back to the entire district and get their majority approval to be released.
This is crazy.
Interesting conundrum.
Why in the world?
Let me go one more further.
Okay.
If you want to join a new district, you've got to submit that to the voters as well of the joining district, and those voters have to approve it as well. And generally, the financial analysis that's going to come from the county superintendent is not going to look good. It's not going to look good for the district who's being separated from, because there's going to be a cost analysis that probably is not going to be favorable to the district, and it's not going to pass. And so that's a problem. And this is one of the reasons why I think Republican legislation is saying, well, let's not use that law anymore. Let's develop a new law. And now we're going to single out those districts that have 35,000 students or more, notably here in Tucson, TUSD, and notably in the Phoenix area, it would be Mesa Unified, which is the largest school district in the state, but also Deer Valley and Peoria and Paradise Valley. All those districts would qualify under that. Interestingly enough, Bill, the district in Phoenix that would not qualify, which is generally compared most like a TUSD, is Phoenix Union.
Yes.
And the reason Phoenix Union wouldn't qualify is that it's a high school district. And so they have many, many elementary K-12 districts that feed into Phoenix Union. And the aggregate total would be far more than 35,000. But when you take a look at those districts alone, Phoenix Union would not be a qualified district in this particular plan. So it's an interesting issue. It's got a lot of major implications. And I noticed in the article in the Star that the details haven't been worked out on this proposal. And as we know, the devil's in the details. And so just sort of doing a quick analysis of this, you know, the districts that we're talking about in Phoenix, you know, are generally districts that have relatively high socioeconomic status. I mean, there's some diversity, but it's not the kind of diversity that you find in TUSD. And so those districts are generally perceived as running well, and they're perceived as running well because they have generally high test scores. They have a lot of districts that, you know, are rated with by the State Department of Education with A's and B's and relatively few D's and F's. In contrast to TUSD, who has pockets of areas, low socioeconomic, high correlation, where students are doing not very well. And then you've got some areas, and one of the areas that's mentioned is the east side. You've got the area, you know, around Sabina High School and the feeder schools that go in there that are, you know, in contrast, fairly high socioeconomic areas as compared to other areas in the district. And so the suggestion is that maybe that would be one of the areas that would want to break away, leaving what's left, you know, to TUSD in probably an area where they're struggling and having more difficulty. So that has some implications in terms of analysis too, because if those areas were to break away, they have high valuation, which would impact the rest of the district. They also have probably, and I'm guessing based on what I think would happen, they would have low commercial enterprise in that area. So again, the tax burden would go back to the rest of TUSD. And so there's always a question of, you know, what happens if a district that breaks away or an area that breaks away has schools that are new? They inherit the bond issue. If it's schools that are old, they inherit all the maintenance issues. Mm-hmm. What happens to the district teachers? Do the teachers automatically go with the annexed area, with the seceded area, or do they get to stay? Do the parents decide, who gets to go, who doesn't get to go? Is it the main district that does that? What about the buses? What about the administration? There are so many complicated issues. It's just impossible to think how this would work.
All right.
It's not simple.
All right. It's a mess, it sounds like. Anyway, but we'll take a break right here. More with Bob Hendricks right after this.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the DoubleTree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary. Home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Boy, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Great forecast, about 70, right around 70. That's perfect weather for a late winter, early spring getaway to a beautiful area of the Southwest. Only about a three-hour drive. You can start your planning. Hope you do. Visit their website, southwestnewmexico.org, for information on what to do, where to stay, and some great places to dine as well. Let's continue our conversation on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management, with Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education. Artificial intelligence and how some students are using AI is causing concerns about plagiarism in the classroom. Dr. Hendricks, how are some of the schools dealing with it?
Well, a lot of the schools are outright trying to find a way to do an end run around this new software, because students are, in fact, using it to plagiarize. And there are ways that they're trying to teach professors and instructors as to how to spot and how to identify when it's being used. There's two software packages. Listeners may have read about some of this in the news. The one that that was first introduced was called ChatGPT. There's another edition of it that is more popularized among students. It's called Cactus, Cactus with a K. I would invite your listeners to go on and just look at the software. You can do that without having to pay any subscription, but you can just look at the array of services that this particular company will provide, you know, with a subscription with payment. But basically what it does, Bill, is if you if you're assigned a topic for an essay, let's say in English 101, you can put that topic into the software system and it will spit out a paper for you. One paragraph, two paragraphs, you want a page, you want three pages, you want five pages, it'll do it for you.
Wow.
Now, the good thing is it's not perfect. Let me use an analogy. Anyone who's used the closed captions, you know, for a movie, sometimes you see misspellings. Sometimes you see disjointed sentences. Sometimes the pronunciation of the word creates a word that sounds phonetically correct, but it's not spelled correctly. That's basically an AI-generated closed caption. They're human-generated closed captions, too, but they're using more and more AI, and sometimes you read it, it just doesn't make any sense. Well, that happens as well with these essays, and instructors have to look at them very carefully. If they see some anomalies in the writing and the crafting of sentences, if it's disjointed, if it doesn't make a lot of sense, then good chance that this software package has been used, and they need to call the student out on that. Now, what's happening now is that instructors are being told that the end run around this is to is the way you assign the paper. And assign a paper that isn't simply a topic that looks like a book report. Ask for personal reflection. Ask for student opinions. Ask for things that are personalized and more customized. The AI can't read that. They can't do that. All they can do is put together from the data collected, you know, in their bank. They can spit out information, but they can't spit out things that are that tend to be personal and customized, that that instructors can ask for, and that's an end run around it. But you know, back to the initial question, a lot of the universities and school districts are now saying that that this is in fact a serious act of plagiarism, that you cannot use it. It's kind of like the old Cliff Notes.
Those? Yeah. Oh, do I remember them? Sure.
That wasn't electronic, but you would use that. You know, some students wouldn't read the book. They would just take the Cliff Notes and they would put together something. And if the instructor was smart enough to ask the right questions, they would realize, well, the Cliff Note isn't really going to give me the answer to write this paper. Well, this is the electronic form, as I call, of Cliff Notes. And there are people now that are arguing that there are positive things that can come out of this. If it's a training program, if it helps students to understand, along with the support of the instructor, some information that may be gleaned from that, simply like going to Wikipedia, you might get some information. Might not be totally accurate, but maybe it's a start. maybe this GPT system will have some positive benefits. But right now, it's got a lot of instructors alarmed, and it's just one more thing that they have to worry about for those who are in the classroom.
So a typical, like, AI could handle something like, tell me about Abraham Lincoln's time in Illinois or something like that.
Oh, absolutely. You want 3 pages of it? You can get it. You can get it. Now, what's interesting is that there could be some, if that assignment is being done by multiple instructors, there could be papers that look very similar, but not exactly. It depends on, students have learned to ask the questions slightly differently and then that way you get a slightly different paper. Mm. But instructors are getting wise to this, but it's really a point of frustration and laziness on the part of students, and also it's fraudulent. You can't do that. And at the university level, and I know because I worked as in the dean's office, plagiarism can get you kicked out of school quicker than just about anything else.
Mm. Wow. What do these programs cost generally?
The one that I looked at, Cactus, it's a monthly subscription fee, and I think it's about $35, $40, depending on the services. If you want other things, like it'll do a bibliography for you, whatever you want, you can ask for it, but it's parceled into different services, and that's how they make their money.
Well, you know, a teacher calls out someone and suspect AI and the student denies it. That could get difficult as well.
It could. And probably if I were in that situation, I would say, since there's some doubt, let me give you a different assignment and go ahead and write. The other thing is, if you know your student, you know their writing style. You know the quality of the work that they do. And suddenly, if you get something that is very different than what you've seen from your student before, that's the intuition of a teacher. That's what teachers do. They know if something's not quite right. Or you start asking questions about the assignment, and you ask for deeper or more specific information, realize that the student doesn't have that, there's something not quite right.
Yep. All right. We're going to leave it there. Dr. Hendricks, always a pleasure. Thank you. Hope you have a great afternoon. Thanks.
And next time we talk, Bill, we can talk about some of those looming issues that our legislators have that they want to fix the system.
Yes, sir. All right. Thank you very much,
okay,
Bob Hendricks.
Okay.
On behalf of Dr. Hendricks and Tom Fairbanks Engineering and producing the show, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you very well on this Thursday afternoon. Back with you tomorrow. We'll talk about Visit Tucson with the head guy there, Felipe Garcia. Have a great day.